British farmer that treats his crop like solar panels has claimed a new world record for the largest yield in a barley crop ever. Tim Lammyman from Lincolnshire in the UK has a passion for grain growing, and he chatted to me about the excitement at his 600-hectare farm when he claimed the new record this month.
Yeah, it's fantastic news. I've had one or two over the years, but the winter barley one was one I was always aiming at. Taken me 10 years to get there, three attempts, and we finally got there. So it's been fantastic news, really.
So the highest yielding barley crop ever in the world's recording is your farm?
Yes. Yeah. Which, you know, like I said, it's really exciting. It's one of those things we have to turn over so many different things to get the yields up to that level. Because obviously places like New Zealand has a lot more sunlight and they irrigate, which we don't. So I've got to find out ways of capturing more sunlight than they have to beat them.
So you've grown the world's highest yielding barley crop off land that you're not even irrigating. That seems incredible.
Yeah, well, in the UK, 3 out of 5 years, water's not a limiting factor. So we, you know, produce root structures that that most people dream about on our crops, so that we can capture more water than most. So it sort of eliminates the water factor unless we've got a really drought period. Sunlight's our major issue, so it's keeping crops greener for longer is my secret to capturing the sunlight. That's our big issue, because New Zealand's got 30 on year average, they've about 30% more sunlight than we have in the growing season. So I've got to design methods of capturing more of that sunlight. So we go really technical into that side, which is probably where it gives us the edge.
So how do you do that?
So, it starts with, you know, picking the varieties. So a lot of this seems to be overlooked around the world, but certain varieties have certain capabilities. And so we look at something really extreme, like a 45 degrees flag leaf angle, and the flag leaf not being too long, so that it allows light to penetrate into leaf two, leaf three. And this then, in turn, allows you to capture more sunlight. Because if you can keep all three leaves greener for longer, and they're all able to access sunlight rather than being covered over with a great big flag leaf. So it's like, a bit like stacking solar panels. You don't stack a solar panel flat at 90 degrees, you stack it at 45 degrees. And this is where my idea came from, is if you stack more of these 45-degree solar panels, or in this case wheat plants, into a tighter area, and the top leaf isn't too big, you can get more light penetrating lower canopy and capturing more sunlight, which therefore converts into more yield. It's taken a long time to get it right. We have to have different head numbers for different varieties. It gets as technical as that. But that's our foundation of how we're going to capture more sunlight. And then, of course, it's how you keep the plant greener for longer, which is involving in using all the new technology fungicides and using an extensive amount of nutrition to push us to those extremes. And that's the only way we can get the yields we're getting here.
This is incredible, the level of detail you need to go into to try and find your way to a record. So you really want to know what the leaves are like on specific varieties to give you an edge so you can grow more barley.
Yep. Whether it be barley, wheat or oilseed rape, we do similar things, different, looking at different bits and pieces. But yeah, we're looking at that through all the plants. Obviously, in the two-row winter barley, which is highly unusual, that's another part of the unusual. Everything else has been done with six rows, I think, from what I understand in world records. We've done this with an actual two-row barley. And two-row barley is slightly different because it does do a smaller flag leaf and has a bigger leaf two, leaf three, and leaf four. So obviously, we're getting the sunlight penetration in there. But it's getting a variety that stands up straight, like getting those leaves at that angle and being able to catch that sunlight lower in the canopy and keeping it greener for longer. So, you know, all the bits we've talked about, like the smart nutrition, building root structures, trying to alleviate disease to the best form. You know, BSF products have really helped us to that form. With the loss of Bravo in the UK, it's been a nightmare for disease. But their new product has called, you know, Revis. I think it's Revisol in the UK, but I don't know what it would be called in Australia. Has, you know, helped us with Ramalera an unbelievable amount. And then obviously putting in probably the best nutrition, I'd almost claim, in the world from the BioNature product range, has allowed the plants to get the right nutrition at the right time, keeping it greener for longer. So all this put together is how we push yields. You know, and we're limited to sunlight. I can only capture as much sunlight as the UK gets, and we don't have the resources of New Zealand on that front.
Yeah, so you're making the best with what you've got. Can you take me through the season? What do you remember about the growing season you experienced this year, and how did it help you?
The growing season this year, the main help is the three, because it's been not the best growing season for most people this year, is the fact that things are 3 weeks later. So with my system, even though it makes harvest a little bit later, being able to have 3 weeks more sunlight allows us to capture that more, you know, the sunlight you wouldn't normally get. So normally we'd normally be harvesting barley mid-July, and this year it's the first week of August. So whereas most crops are dying off that midweek, you know, still dying off in July, even though they might be harvesting it slightly later, they hadn't got the green leaf area retention that we had. And so the green leaf area retention is capturing the sunlight, which is converting to yield. And I'm 100% certain that's what got us. So the season really was half the rainfall over the winter to what we had the previous year, which was a record rainfall year the previous year, and absolutely, for records, you know, destroyed everything. We did all right, but it was horrendous. So we had 660 mil in 4 months over the winter period 2 years ago, and this year we've only just had 300 mil. So that allowed the crops to come out in fantastic form, no real flooding damage or anything. And then we had the coldest April on record. So out the 30 days in April, we had 29 days of frost here, which delayed the crops. But fortunately, this variety, Tardis, didn't suffer any damage. It didn't really yellow. It kept green. And that was great, because, you know, usually with the frost damage, we normally see crops go backwards and yellow and lose tillers. But the Caedophus Tardis didn't. Moving through to May, June time, we had again a lot of dull weather, which was really annoying, and wet weather, which actually boosted the water retention in the soils, which is good news. And because it was so dull in May and part of June, it's delayed our crops because of the greenness in there for longer, which when the sunlight come out, we'd still got three and four leaves left right through to nearly 4 weeks before harvest. And this has just allowed it to put weight on where a lot of crops in the UK hadn't been able to, and that's probably what's pushed us over the line. I'm certain that's what pushed us over the line, is the fact that we're 3 weeks later than normal harvesting barley, and that's where it's got the yield from.
It's just incredible to hear your passion and the technical nature of how you approach trying to set a record. So take me into how you're feeling when you're actually getting the harvester in to harvest the barley that you think might be a record crop. What was that moment like?
Well, it was one of those, I suppose, lifetime ambitions. So everybody who knows me, because we've done one or two records over the years, couldn't believe how calm I was. But we'd spent a long time working the capabilities and, you know, putting through the calculator, grain numbers and ear numbers and bits and pieces. And I felt confident that we were going to be above what we'd done in the past. We'd done a 12.8 and a 12.7 in previous attempts, and everything just felt right. So for once, everybody couldn't believe it. It was, you know, the coolest, calmest time I've ever been combining a record, I think, in my life. Unfortunately, we got over the line.
That's brilliant. Tell us what the tonnage was. What did your barley go? What's the new record?
The new record is now 14.2 tons a hectare. I think it came in at 14.97 moisture, so it was bang on, really. So that was, you know, it's really nice to get over the 14 ton a hectare mark. And it'd be interesting to see where the boundaries can go with winter barley, because we're all convinced that if we got another season like that, if we could get a little bit more of it stood up, because we had 35% on the floor, we could get a higher hectolitre weight, which would also give us a higher final result. So that's interesting. You know, we don't think the potential barley is quite finished yet.
Yeah, so you're not done yet. You think you can get a higher yield if the conditions are right?
We believe so. We believe if 1 year we got the perfect weather where we didn't get the storm. The trouble with the May and the June weather is that they were quite windy and quite stormy, so it laid a little bit of the barley, which obviously knocks a bit of the potential off. If we could manage to have 100% stud barley field, there's a potential of a higher yield, because obviously the hectolitre weight's higher, so when the trailers are going over the weighbridge, it weighs better.
And where do you sell your barley to? Where does the record crop end up?
This one's gone for seed, so everybody who could get hold of some strangers has been trying to order KWS Tardis, but the seed crop's completely sold out now. So Yeah. So the whole of the UK that get hold of some TARDIS is trying to drill some at the moment.
That's brilliant. And you're not done just in the efforts of trying to get a record barley crop. You've got a pretty nice looking wheat crop out there right now, don't you?
Yeah, we've got one or two wheat crops. We've cut the first one on the farm, which is a good pointer. It's done the 15 ton a hectare, which is on its own for the farmer record. We've never started in the first week we've cut on the farm at 15 ton a hectare. We've got a couple with some really exciting potentials, but I just need the weather to behave itself for another week to see where we're at when we've put the combine in.
So do you think you'll be able to set the wheat record? What's that set at?
The wheat record's currently set at 17.398, I think, or 397. And I believe there's potential out there to get above it, but it's like everything else. I tend to not like to talk about that until we've cut it. The combine and the weighbridge is king, and you can talk about potential all day long, but it's actually what runs over the weighbridge that's the king in that.
And I love that, like any farmer, you're not counting the crop until you harvest it, which is age old, I think, around the world. Tim, it's been so good to talk to you about the efforts to try and break the world record. Your name, it sits next to one of those records right now. Does that feel satisfying to you?
Yeah, it feels great. Yeah, it feels great. It's something that, you know, we've been pushing on the farm for the last 10 years, and we've held one or two over the years, and it's nice to put one back on the farm's name again. So it's great.
Well done, Tim. Great to talk to you. Thanks very much for telling us about your record-breaking crop.